If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. We have been doing this now for over 20 years, where we have, at this time of year, very specifically, speak to the president or president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association about what to look forward to. It's amazing how it must be handed down from president to president. I'm talking about the crystal ball, because clearly Dr. Michael Bailey has one, president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association. But before we get to that, we want to keep your pets safe over the holidays. So first of all, Dr. Michael Bailey, welcome to the show. This is the first time I've talked to you on the radio in any case. And happy holidays to you and your pets.
I don't know if I can howl like you do, but I thank you very much for having me here. And we want to thank you very much for reminding your audience how important it is to remember their pets during the holidays.
All right. So I want to talk about just that right now. This is where I'll start. The gifts are wrapped. You've got them under the tree. And you've used wrapping paper, but also tinsel or ribbon. And you happen to have a cat or two or three, because no one seems to have a cat. They have two or three. And maybe a puppy is in the house as well. Talk about, as a veterinarian, how you feel about tinsel or ribbon.
Well, first of all, you need to remember that when you are in bed and you hear those little sounds downstairs, it may not be elves. It may be your pets.
Yes.
And what they're attracted to are those shiny little things that you have under the tree and on the tree, and maybe even on your dining room table. They love not just the colors, but they also love the sounds they make when they're playing with them and chewing on them and cutting their gums as they are chewing on them. So we really have to be careful about what we have around when it comes to our pets. They are just like children. In fact, they are our children.
Yeah, that's true enough. And if the tinsel is swallowed, and cats in particular have a huge interest in doing this, don't we perforate some of their organs along the way? Because the tinsel is sharper than you might think. Try it on your own fingers. Actually, don't try it on your own fingers. It's sharp, and sharp enough to do that. And we're potentially talking an obstruction and therefore surgery, doctor.
Well, you know, we can go from several things. So, yes, the aluminum-type foil can actually lacerate the bowel, and it doesn't even have to perforate. Just those lacerations can cause the bowel to contract down and lead to an obstruction. Then we can have the perforation from the really sharp objects, and that includes the needles off the tree, by the way, so they can perforate the bowel. And then we can get to some of the long tinsel, which we have, and the cats love playing with that and chewing on it and swallowing it. That can lead to what's called a linear foreign body. In all cases, these are gastrointestinal emergencies that, unfortunately, if not treated rapidly, can lead to severe damage or even death.
Yeah. So the best thing, I don't know, you tell me your opinion. I would think if you have a cat, play it safe and just, you can make it very festive without having tinsel and potentially ribbon as well.
I would think about everything which you're going to use and try to minimize anything. When I say minimize, that means if you can remove it, anything that your pets might get into. Because the little bit of time you take thinking about an alternative way of having safer wrapping, safer plants, safer decorations may be preventing you from having to go to the emergency room on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. We don't want to interrupt the festivities because of the fact we unfortunately are putting out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, taking care of our pets in the emergency room on something that could have been prevented.
Right, right. I want to talk about Christmas trees living forever. People look online, and I'm not talking artificial trees, and they look online. I've done this. And you see magic. You see additives that potentially can be added to the Christmas tree water. I've seen everything from literally birth control pills to chicken soup that can help the tree live longer. And then there are products you could buy over the counter. I am no expert at all on Christmas trees, but I've been told those products kind of are iffy as to whether they work or not. No matter, are you concerned about the pets, dogs in particular, but any pet, drinking out of something that you add to the water that maybe can be harmful to the pet?
That water is essential for the tree. However, you're right. People put a whole lot of things, and I don't even think I could list them all. But you know, if we just start off with the basic water that's sitting there, it's sitting there in actually a nutrient-rich environment, and bacteria is growing in that water. And that can lead to, once again, gastrointestinal upsets, if not worse. Then we talk about the other chemicals that can be put in that water to try and make that Christmas tree last well into the new year. And unfortunately, all of those are potentially toxic. And when we talk about toxicity, think about a 6-pound cat. It doesn't take a whole lot for a 6-pound cat to become ill or even for something to be fatal to that small cat. Puppies, even adult dogs can get sick, if not worse, from what is contained in the water in the Christmas tree base. And so remember, even plain water can be toxic because of what it can grow.
I think they're called lattice work fences. L-A-T-T-I-C-E, I think is the spelling. And you could buy them at home improvement stores and such that you could put around the Christmas tree to prevent the dog or cat from not only potentially drinking the water that the tree is sitting in, but even for artificial trees, if you buy one that's high enough, can prevent cats from easily climbing the tree, which, of course, cats are prone to do.
Yeah, you can actually, when it comes to the tree and want to prevent it from being pulled down, you can actually take very thin fishing line, wrap it around a portion of the tree, and attach it to your wall. It's almost invisible. Make sure you put something on it so if somebody goes back there, they see it and they don't get themselves hurt. But it can prevent the tree from being pulled down. And then if you have an alcove, you're absolutely right. You can put the tree in this little alcove and put just sort of a decorative fence up in front of it to reduce the chance of a pet getting across it. But as you and I both know, cats are very ingenious.
Yes.
Cats always find a way. I have seen people who have even hung their Christmas trees from the ceiling so that the cat can't get to it. And I have seen videos of cats climbing up on furniture and taking that Evel Knievel jump to get onto the tree.
If people remember who Evel Knievel is, yes, but you're
So I'm showing my age.
No. But you're absolutely right about that. And in fact, cats, it's fascinating, once they get something in their mind. So we have a cat who decided, I want to jump on this particular table. Our cat has lots of vertical space in our house. Just trust me on that. And it's one of those places that we say, no, you're not supposed to jump up there. But I saw the cat was staring at the table and the tail's going back and forth. And you know, this is what the cat wants to do. I actually took the cat, picked our cat up, walked down the hallway, way down the hallway. We have long hallways into another room, gave the cat something, an incompatible behavior, in this case, a snack, something to eat, walked back into the room. 3 minutes later, the cat is back in the room staring at the same table saying, I haven't forgotten about it. I still want to jump up there. That's what cats are all about. And we are talking with President-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Michael Bailey, who is all about keeping your pets safe for the holidays. We'll be right back on WGN. Dr. Michael Bailey is President-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association. We're keeping our pets safe, we hope, over the holidays. You know, people tend to talk about dogs and cats, and we will get back to dogs and cats. But, you know, a lot of us light candles and potpourri and all these various scents. If it's a real fire, first of all, I'm concerned about dogs and cats too, knocking over whatever it is. I talked about cats jumping on tables, right? So we don't want a house fire. Here's what I'm getting at though. Pet birds, their respiratory systems are so sensitive that burning these things that may smell pretty to us can actually, I believe, be dangerous for most birds, if not all pet birds.
That's correct. I would preferably recommend that you do not have open flame in your house for any animal. Probably children too, but let's talk about the animals, the cats, birds. Remember, a cat will jump up on a table and they can catch their fur afire. So first of all, you now have a pet who has been injured by the flame. That the cat's trying to put it out, it may then be running around your house. So not only do you have a cat that may be in the emergency ward, but you may have a house that now becomes in the emergency ward also.
Yeah.
And then we think about the birds, such as what you're talking about. Their respiratory system is extremely sensitive to any aromatic agent in the household. This includes pots and pans, by the way. So you need to be very careful about what the fumes are in your house. Candles are one of them. If you have a pot that overheats, these can all be toxic, and you'd be surprised how quickly it can make a pet sick, and unfortunately, it can lead to their demise.
Dr. Bailey, I don't know if you've heard the news, but Santa is once again on Weight Watchers, and we want to support that, right? So we make brownies for Santa. We leave out those brownies overnight because we know Santa's comes overnight down the chimney. Now he could fit down the chimney. He's lost a little bit of weight. We leave out the brownies. The brownies were cooked with chocolate, but also the brownies were cooked with a sugar substitute called xylitol, sometimes called birch sugar. Can you explain why Santa might benefit, but if your dog gets into what I just described, your dog will not?
Unfortunately, xylitol, which does add to health for those who are trying to lose weight, is extremely deadly to our dogs particularly. I would just say that anything that is sugar-free, I would keep it away from our pets. The poisoning can show up in dogs as depression, loss of coordination, seizures, and this can happen in as little as 30 minutes after the pet has ingested the material. If we talk about chocolate, there's going to be chocolate. It's Christmas time. Christmas and chocolate are almost synonymous. There's a chemical in chocolate called thiobromide. The better the chocolate, the higher the level of thiobromide, and unfortunately, it will lead to destruction of your dog's kidneys. So when you get that really dark chocolate, let's even talk about Baker's chocolate. That, unfortunately, is deadly to a dog. If you see them ingesting any chocolate, I would suggest at minimum you contact your poison control center, but I would take them to your local veterinarian and have them checked out. And it may require to have their stomachs flushed and then being put on fluids so that you can flush out the adverse chemical as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to make matters worse. Not only is what you leave out, because we want Santa to be happy, so you put a little bit of THC in there. Now it's an edible that is chocolate that also has maybe raisins in it and the artificial sweetener. So you've already talked about the artificial sweetener. You've described how chocolate is a problem, which a lot of people do know about. But now we've added raisins and we've added the fact that it's an edible, therefore THC is in it. Am I talking about even a greater potential problem?
Steve, do you stay up nighttimes thinking about nightmares for veterinarians and pet families? You're right. You're talking about anything that, such as the edibles, and you know, the edibles do not necessarily have a constant concentration of the material in it, but they can lead to, at minimum, a severe drop in blood pressure. And dogs and cats are extremely sensitive to this. When it comes to other edibles, well, let's just talk about table scraps. People figure, oh, you know, it's turkey or ham. And we love to give our pet some of this because of the fact we enjoy it so much. Unfortunately, their metabolism is significantly different from ours, and it can lead to a severe abdominal disease called pancreatitis. So we have to be extremely careful in what it is that we feed our pets. I do not recommend giving them people food. I do not recommend them enticing them to it. And I do not recommend you allow them to be exposed to it while you're off in the den meeting all the family. Your pets can be in the dining room dining on the leftovers. So you need to be sure you put it away safe. And remember, if you have any questions, contact your veterinarian. They will guide you to what's the best next approach. It may be coming into your regular veterinarian, or they may say it's time to go to the emergency hospital and get follow-up there immediately. Minutes and definitely hours can make the difference in a pet recovering or, unfortunately, a pet not being there for the New Year's celebration.
And I mentioned raisins, so I want to go back to that. They're toxic as well. So more information about all of this at avma.org. You know what? There's a company, Merrick Pet Foods, they make something called turkey dinner. So as an option, what I tell people is to consider something like that as a treat. It's made for dogs, and that way you don't have to worry about giving table food or how much table food to give your dog or cat or not.
Right. There are a lot of companies who specialize in making, I'm going to say, human-simulated food that the pets enjoy. Once again, I would recommend talking to your local veterinary hospital. They quite often have experts in there on what all the alternative treats so that your pet can be happy. And while they're looking up at you and smiling, they're not saying, I wish I had some of that, because they have their own form. Once again, going back to the raisins, because I did miss that, raisins can be toxic. They originate from grapes. Grapes are extremely toxic to dogs. Raisins are just a concentrated form of grapes. Thank you.
Well, thank you. But you're not done yet. I want to hear about your own pets. And I want you to reveal what you might be giving your pets for the holidays. In fact, more and more people are doing just that. And take out your crystal ball, Dr. Bailey, when we come back. What we look forward to in veterinary medicine in 2025. I have a hunch artificial intelligence is somewhere on that list, but we'll find out what that list is when we come back on WGN.
Oh, Robot Santa.
And what about Santa?
We're going to be looking to see what Santa is doing in 2025.
Okay, he knows Santa. This is impressive. We'll find out what Santa's doing in 2025 as well when we come back from the man who knows Santa on WGN. Here's the moment you've been waiting for. 'Twas a pet's night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, especially the mouse, 'cause that mouse knows who's in the house. Oh, there's Fido, there's Fluffy, there's Duchess and King, on Rover, on Scruffy, with that squeaky thing. Go by the red hydrant, run past the trees. Nothing can stop you, not even the fleas. They heard a tinkling on the roof. You know how reindeer are. And when you gotta go, the prancing of each little hoof. Then down the chimney, St. Nicholas, he was greeted with a purr and a bark and a bite on his Nicholas. He came with squeaky toys, rawhide and liver to deliver. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, oh, how merry. When Rover licked his nose, it tasted like sherry. He sprang to his sleigh. To his team, he gave a whistle and said, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Back with you on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. I'm not here alone. I'm here with the president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Michael Bailey. Dr. Bailey, do you have pets at home?
I do. I have a small little critter. She is a Swedish Valhoun, a Swedish cattle dog. She loves the winter. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and when it snows, she's just out there playing in the snow, and we can't get her to come back in.
I actually know what those dogs are. They're kind of like, sort of like corgis in the way that they look.
They are a cousin of the corgi. They are herding dogs.
Yeah, and they are cute as can be, and yes, apparently love the snow. Hopefully we won't be seeing a lot of that necessarily. Do you give something? Tell us, your dog, what's your dog's name?
Sasha.
Sasha's not listening right now. I happen to know that. So tell us what you're getting Sasha, the president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, reveals what he is getting his dog for Christmas right here.
Sasha loves going for walks. And in fact, she would love to walk day and night. So she has a very dark coat. We are getting her an overcoat that has glow strips on it so that as we're walking down the street, people can see her coming. They may not see me, but they will see her coming.
I love that. And it provides warmth, which is something else. I don't want to go into detail about this right now. We'll talk about this in future programs. But having a coat or a sweater on a dog is more than just fashion. It is for a lot of dogs, and maybe, for the most part, a Malamute or Husky doesn't need it, but many other dogs do. So you have a dog that's close to the ground. If there's snow on the ground, your dog is going to get wet anyway. This will prevent your dog from getting as wet, bringing all that wet and the salt with it into your home, but also keeping your dog warmer.
Correct. And it's not just keeping warmer, because the dogs, you don't think about it when they're walking in that slush, they're getting all this ice forming in their paws.
So right.
Now start talking into boots and whatnot also. And yes, this helps keep your house cleaner, but more importantly, it keeps those ice balls from forming in between their toes. So when you're half a mile down the road, they suddenly are looking up to you saying, I can't walk very well because of those ice balls. So you can actually buy appliances so that it will reduce those ice balls from forming in between their toes.
All right. As president-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, I want you to do what we've been doing now for more than two decades, and that is get your crystal ball out. I've been to the offices in Schaumburg of the American Veterinary Medical Association. I've seen it. It's behind a vault. It's, you know, lock and key, secret password to get to the crystal ball, but you've got it there right now. What do things look like for us, pet parents, in 2025?
Well, here's the secret. We're going to give you the secret of long life. How's that?
I love it.
The secret of long life is preventative care. If you do things now to reduce disease in your pets today, as they are young and healthy, you can extend their lifespan, and I can't tell you how much because each pet is different, but there's no question we can reduce the chronic disease and give them a longer, happier life. And here's a bonus for it. Preventative care can actually reduce the long-term cost of owning a pet, because once again, it reduces you having to have that chronic care with your veterinarian. Now, we do want you to have constant veterinary care, but we want to reduce the amount of geriatric care and chronic care that they may need by doing preventive care.
And you said something magical in there. Each pet is different. Are we going to see more individualized medicine? So if I had a Swedish Valhound dog, which I don't, but if I did, that is the same age as your dog, you've still got two very similar dogs, but very different dogs, because all dogs are individuals. Are we looking more at individualized care, which is the way human medicine, they say, is going?
Yes, that is actually, human medicine and veterinary medicine have great parallels. My dog actually is 17.
Wow.
So she's lived a long, happy life. Yep, 17 years old. But you know, some of the ways you're going to do it, if we talk about, first of all, I'm going to go back to the preventive care. And with the new methods of genetic testing and whatnot, you can find out if there are specific diseases that your pet may be susceptible to. So A, you can keep a lookout for them. B, you can start running tests at the appropriate time so you can try and be ahead of the curve. Once again, treating a disease when it's early or acute can reduce the long-term consequences of it. And now, this is something which you mentioned at the beginning, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
By combining artificial intelligence, remember this, AI does not replace any doctor, whether it's for a human patient or for a veterinary patient. What it does is it augments our skills. It makes it so we can take all this data, which we are accumulating over the life of the pet, and we can better analyze it. So by using these new methods that are coming out, whether we're talking about molecular pathology, artificial intelligence, we are going to be able to, as you're talking about, look into the crystal ball and start predicting what our individual pet may be looking for down the road.
A lot to talk about in what you just said. So you mentioned that your dog is 17. We have something else in common. We have a dog. We don't know her exact age because we adopted her from a shelter, Animal Welfare League in Chicago. But she's either 16 or 17. She's a Chihuahua Terrier mix. They both, these dogs likely, very likely statistically, I'll take a stab at it, say your dog has osteoarthritis just because of your dog's age. Mine I know does. And now there are monoclonal antibodies, which is a new type of medicine we've not seen before in veterinary medicine so much. People may know that buzzword because it's been used for COVID, to treat COVID in some people. Can you talk about that just a bit?
Boy, you're getting into, you know, my background is as a radiologist. So I want to be sure that I don't get over my head, even though I do try to see through things.
Well, okay, so as a radiologist, I have this question for you. It's fascinating to me how, and there was a study done to show this in feline medicine, actually, and there have been studies done apparently in human medicine, which I know nothing about, that have shown this as well, that you can look at a X-ray, a radiograph, of five different dogs, and they all show the same amount of, say, osteoarthritis. But maybe, and it's significant, but only two of the dogs are in pain or demonstrate pain at all. To me, that's really just, that's interesting.
Well, once again, we're coming down to the individual nature of our pets. They are just as individualized as we are. But if we come down to what monoclonal antibodies, in the case of osteoarthritis and other similar conditions, what we're trying to do is decrease inflammation, because arthritis is an inflammatory process. It's actually, it feeds upon itself. So you first have a degenerative change, which leads to inflammation. Inflammation leads to more degenerative change, and so on down the road.
Yeah.
So with the monoclonal antibodies that you're asking about, one of the things that it applies, and once again, I'm trying to be very careful because this is getting over my head.
All right, before I'm interrupting you, because before you drown over your head, you can take a breath, because we'll take a commercial break, and then we come right back with Dr. Bailey, Dr. Michael Bailey, President-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and more on what's to come in veterinary health in the upcoming year. Dr. Michael Bailey is President-elect of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and we're talking about these really amazing monoclonal antibodies that are available for dogs. The dog one is called Librela. For cats, it's called Solensia. They're fairly new on the market. Not only older pets are susceptible or are more likely to be arthritic, but certainly we're seeing a lot of it because our pets are living longer than ever before. I'd argue that arthritis in dogs and cats has been, cats especially, has been underdiagnosed for a very long time. And while traditionally there have been non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to lower inflammation like you've spoken about, this is another way of sort of going around to deal with this issue, as these monoclonal antibodies affect what's called nerve growth factor. So the pets actually don't feel that they're in pain, even if the arthritis still exists, but they're not hurting. And that's what we want to see. We don't want to see pets in pain, which brings us to another topic. I want you to finish about monoclonal antibodies, but that importance of pet parents saying, I'll do anything for my dog or cat not to suffer, I think is more profound than it's ever been and growing. Can you talk a little more about the monoclonal antibodies, but also about the human-animal bond that seems to be increasing with every year?
Right. Well, this is a good segue into that. And here's what I'm talking about. Whereas I said, as a radiologist, I want to be sure I don't get over my head. In our profession, we have a large number of specialists who can address these. We have pain experts. We have internal medicine specialists. In fact, I'm at a meeting of the American College of Veterinary Pathologists, and we all specialize in different aspects of medicine. So we're a very deep profession. So when we're talking about monoclonal antibodies, we have individuals who can specifically address what is best for your pet. And remember, what you use in a dog is not the same as what you use in a cat. And I remind people, cats are not dogs. So in that particular case, talking to individuals who are members of the Feline Veterinary Medical Association would be the best thing to do when it comes down to your particular feline friend.
All right. Now, what I mentioned is that we'll do anything, you know, because dogs do a pretty good job very often of masking pain, depending on the individual dog. Sometimes they very, very quickly tell us they hurt. Cats almost never tell us they hurt. And if they are, they've been hurting for a long time and they're hurting very badly because they mask pain so very well. And what I've noted is that, yes, people 10 years ago cared about that. People 20 years ago cared about that. Today, we are profoundly, I would argue, profoundly concerned about our pet's well-being as pet parents in a way that we never have been before. Not only do we not want our pets to feel pain, but passionately about it, but also are concerned about the emotional well-being of our animals.
In talking about that, part of what we need to be sure that we do as pet parents is we need to be sure that we are looking at and monitoring how our pets are reacting to their environment. So you just made a very astute observation how cats and dogs, but particularly cats, mask pain. But you know they show it in different ways. You were talking about how your cats love vertical surfaces in your home. You'd be surprised when cats are feeling off, particularly pain, but other things also, they will stop going to those vertical surfaces. Or instead of jumping up from the floor to the countertop, they will find an intermediate step. So if you keep an eye and see what's a change in behavior, you will get an early clue as to what is happening.
You know, are we going to see more power in our hands and pet parents' hands, if you will, in our phones? For example, there's two apps that will determine quite effectively whether your cat may be in pain. One is called the Feline Grimace Scale, and the other is called, I'll think of the name of it in a second. It's perfectly cat-named, but both of these, you can point your phone at your cat, and they do a pretty good job. And the reason why I like these two, particularly the one whose name I can't think of but will, and I'll put in the show description if I can't think of it, but ties into your veterinarian. So your veterinarian gets the image as well as you. I think that this is kind of like the way we're going, and this is the artificial intelligence that you've been speaking about.
Oh, you are such a forward thinker. You're absolutely right. When we have things that monitor our pet's gait, which is what these are doing, or noticing some of these changes, we get early warning signs. There are also new wearables that are coming out, just like people are wearing their rings and other wearables so that they can keep track of their health. There are new wearables coming out for our pets so we can keep track of their activity. They can even monitor when they go to the water dish and the food dish. This is what's going to allow us to try. You notice how we started off with preventive care? Mm-hmm. This allows us, even if we're not in the preventive care mode, now we are trying to track an acute or chronic disease. It allows us to see it when it's in the acute phase. And we can ask, what is wrong? It's time to take Fluffy into the veterinarian, and let's see if we can get a better handle on what's happening. Sometimes you won't find it on day one, but also by finding trends. This is why regular veterinary care is so important, because you also want to monitor trends, simply as much as monitoring the weight of the patient. But then there are other laboratory parameters which we can follow. And if we start seeing these trends going up, then we start saying it's time for us to take some proactive steps so that we can decrease the long-term negative effects.
Well, one negative effect for me is my mind doesn't work as fast as apparently it could or should. Sylvester.ai is what I was trying to think of. And it's amazing because it can take a picture, this app can, your phone, of your cat, communicates right to your veterinarian what you're seeing as well, and gives you some indication. The Grimace Scale does the same thing. Grimace was certified by a group of veterinarians in Canada, and It's incredible, but it's the way they are moving, I believe. And those are two examples, and you describe another of the wearables of AI coming or here right now in veterinary medicine. AI, artificial intelligence, me, I am all about AUI, artificial unintelligence. That's what I personally have. But Dr. Michael Bailey, thank you so much for joining us. You're incredible. Congratulations on your new position as the president, soon to be this summer, of the American Veterinary Medical Association. I am certain we will be talking with you again.
Thank you very much. And Steve, once again, I would like to thank you so much for your supporting pet parents and the American Veterinary Medical Association in a lifelong relationship of trying to educate our clients as to how best to incorporate pets in our households.
Wow. Great way to end the year. Thank you, Dr. Bailey.
Thank you.
I am certain Betty White would have been touched with this honor. Did you hear? The United States Postal Service has issued a stamp in her honor, which is terrific. And she would have been humbled. I knew Betty White a bit. I mean, we had her on the radio, I don't know, on this show many, many, many times over the years. But what's more, I had private conversations with her. I remember one of those conversations was at, I was the announcer for the American Humane Hero Dog Awards, and she was a presenter on the award show. And we sat sort of behind the scenes, and we talked in great detail about cat health, of all things. But I think of, as honored as she would be, I do believe she would have not approved of the caricature that they used on the stamp. She would have said, I'm certain, okay, that's okay, the caricature of me, but put my dog, put a dog in there too. Put some other animal in there with me. Betty White was amazing. Her birthday is around the corner. Happy birthday, Betty White. See you bright and early next week on WGN.